Jamie was introduced to me in an email from the headquarters in Huntington that she had graduated from college and that our mission team was recommending her as a viable missionary under the United Brethren. There are certain people that they sanction them. They say, these are good people. They're going to go work with somebody else, but we really think they're good United Brethren people. And so I got that email, and I showed it to the mission people and the board, and they said, well, let's invite her to come and share with us. And so she came in time to do that last night. Now, she's actually going to go serve with a ministry called Food for the Hungry. And probably biblically, one of the most challenging sections of the Bible is when you talk about Jesus in the New Testament saying, now, in the end times, when we stand before him, he's going to say, now, did you do this? Did you go to those who were sick in my name? Did you feed the people? Did you clothe them? Did you go to the prisons and minister to these people? And the people that end up on his right hand, he's going to say, you did that. Well, when did you do that? When did I do that, Lord? Well, when you did it for the least of these. So the biblical context of going to feed people in the name of Jesus is probably one of the things that you and I will be challenged with when God takes us into his office when we get to heaven and closes the door and he has his personal chat with us about life. So when did you go to the prison? When did you feed these people? When did you go visit the sick ones? Jamie wants to go feed them. Now, Sam and Kent and I went to New Orleans in February to help the people that were wiped out by the hurricane. When we were there, we were fed by a young lady about the same age from Food for the Hungry. That's who fed us while we were down there. The food that we ate came from Food for the Hungry. These two young ladies came to the place, the hostel, whatever you call that house that you stay at, and they came as missionaries to us who were going out to do the work, but they made three meals a day, and they provided the food for us on that mission trip. And they do that all over the world. So if Kent were here, we'd say, we ate real well, you know. If Sam were here, he'd say, oh yeah, we ate real well. So personally, I've experienced within this year the benefit of this mission. They do a good, solid work. We know people that are in leadership in Food for the Hungry in Phoenix, where she's going. We're swapping names with her. She doesn't know them yet, but when she gets out there, she'll look up our friends. And then eventually, it'll be like Clarence and them talking about the places in the mission field that they've been at the same time. So, you know, I say all that in introduction for her. She seems to be a really fine lady with a really fine heart, wants to go feed people. So I'll give her the microphone, and I'm going to change the PowerPoint presentation to her stuff. She even gets to click.
Well, good morning, and thanks for having me here today. I am a little nervous, I'll let you know that, but I just really want to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart. I kind of want to give you a general overview and then do more specifics about who Food for the Hungry is. They are involved in food, handing out food, but they do so much more than that. That's just a fraction. Their name is kind of deceptive. They're involved in a lot of other areas as well. And then I want to talk a little bit about who I am and why it matters and things like that. So before I get into Food for the Hungry or who I am or anything like that, I kind of want to give you a glimpse of the problem of poverty and world hunger right now, worldwide. And I want to do that by starting with some facts. This quote up here is actually their vision statement. God called, and we responded until physical and spiritual hungers are ended worldwide. That's their mission, what drives them to do the work that they're doing all over the world. So some startling facts that I just want you to see. Over 850 million people do not consume enough calories to sustain healthy bodies, and mainly that's because they don't have the resources to do that. I'm sure that these numbers are changing every day, but it just kind of gives you a general idea. Every day, 24,000 people will die from hunger or hunger-related causes, and that means that 1,000 people every hour will do that. So during the service, 1,000 people will die because of hunger or hunger-related causes. And every year, more people die from hunger than they do from war. That fact alone was very startling to me, just because of all the wars that are going on in the world. I thought that the number of casualties would be far greater than something as simple as being hungry. So that kind of just shows you the depth of and the seriousness of this problem of hunger. So those are just a few facts. But why should we care as Christians? I mean, we're just supposed to preach to them, right? We're just supposed to save their souls. Why do we need to meet the physical needs? I think it's because Jesus' ministry is filled with countless examples and teachings that instruct us to feed the poor, to take care of the orphans and widows, just like the pastor was saying, and to meet physical and spiritual needs of people worldwide. I want to just give you some examples of some teachings. I'm not going to give a big message or anything, but I just have pulled out some scriptures that have really spoke to me over the last few years. The first one is found in Jeremiah 22. And Jeremiah just is speaking of King Josiah and all of the good things that he did while he was king. Says this, Jeremiah 22:15 and 16 says this. Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Did not your father, King Josiah, have food and drink? He did what was right and just, so all went well with him. He defended the cause of the poor and needing, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? That just speaks to me and says, if I really know God's heart, I should be affected by it enough that I follow the example and live in accordance with that. Is that not what it means to know God, to defend the poor and the needy? Also, the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 16:49 through 51 says this, now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen. This speaks of judgment to those who don't help the poor and needy. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on that side of judgment. That's motivation for me. That's passion for me to be involved in that work. James also goes on, and I love this verse. There's just so many good ones. James 1:27 says this, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And also, like, the prime example of ministering to the whole person is in Jesus himself. He spoke to and ultimately saved their souls, but he also didn't reject or forget about their physical needs and their physical hungers. So those are just some examples that have really touched my heart in the last few years. And I know I'm kind of focusing on the physical side of things, but at the same time, I don't want to neglect the spiritual. And I'll talk a little bit about that, how Food for the Hungry brings those together. They want it to be a holistic approach, ministering to the needs of people physically and spiritually. But I just kind of wanted to give a little bit of background on the physical aspect of it, because sometimes that gets overlooked in missions. I also believe that God's vision for the poor is found in another area of Scripture, and one verse in particular is Micah 6:8, and that just happens to be Food for the Hungry's kind of key verse. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? It was from this verse that Food for the Hungry was founded in 1971 by Dr. Larry Ward. And originally, it was founded as a relief organization. So they went, and when there was a natural disaster, they went and they provided food. So that's where the name came from. But over the time, it has evolved into more of a development organization. They still do about 30% of their work as relief effort. But now they are more focused on sustainable development. We want to go in and work with communities in order to empower them and to equip them and to show them that they do have natural God-given talents and abilities to live healthier lives and not just put a Band-Aid, but to really provide sustainable change. Like I said earlier, their approach is holistic, meaning that they want to meet the physical and the spiritual needs. Next slide. So they do that in a variety of ways. They work in communities in about 50 different countries around the world, and they're involved in a variety of programs.
Whoa.
Thank you.
They turned it down last night for the movie. They said it was too loud. I've got to turn it back.
That's okay. Oh, that's right there. So they work in a variety of ways with disadvantaged people. Things such as water sanitation, microenterprise loans, education, health programs, all of those things being taught with the word of the Lord alongside of it. So they are meeting both the physical need and the spiritual need as well. One, I wasn't planning on telling this, but I'm going to. I heard about Food for the Hungry when I was at school. I went to school in Western New York called Houghton College, and a speaker came and they did a video on a project that Food for the Hungry was involved in. There's a small community in Bolivia that lived by this river, and they were a farming community, and a lot of their children were dying because they didn't have enough food to feed them. And they had all this water, but they didn't have any way to get the water to water their crops. And so it was just this frustrating event because they didn't have the resources to know how. So Food for the Hungry heard about it with the national staff there. And they went into the village and said, okay, let's figure out how we can use your resources and your abilities to bring water into your community and save your village. And so they worked on a water irrigation system, and they provided a canal to that would bring water in to water their crops. And so after a few years of work of the community providing what they could and working alongside of the FH workers, they were able to develop this canal, and now their children are no longer dying. They have enough water to grow enough crops to have a produce and or a surplus, and now they are able to sell some of that and provide more income for their families. And it's just a flourishing community. At the same time, no one in that community was a Christian before Food for the Hungry came in. And just by walking alongside of them, working with them every day for a few years, the entire community came to the Lord. And now a flourishing church is there. And they have been sending out their own missionaries, I have goosebumps, to other people right around their community. And it's just, it really touched my heart just to see how the Lord used that. And it wasn't just, we're going to give you clean water. Yeah, we're going to give you water, but we're going to give you an everlasting water that is going to quench your thirst like you never even believed. So that's kind of an example of something that Food for the Hungry does. This is our president, Ben Holman, and he's an amazing man. I just want to read this quote, and I got to look at it. But Food for the Hungry's ministry philosophy, founded on the authority of Scripture, is an optimistic one that responds to needs around the world in obedience to God. We believe that change can happen and that people and societies can experience transformation. And so we prayerfully and hopefully walk with churches, leaders, and families in overcoming all forms of human poverty by living in healthy relationship with God and His creation. And these are the three areas that we really focus on is working with churches, leaders, and families, because those are the three social structures that have the most influence in communities, both here and abroad. I just thought that was a good quote by him I wanted to share with you. So now you know a little bit about Food for the Hungry, but where do I tie into this? Why is that important? Why am I excited about what Food for the Hungry is doing? I'll get to that. But I want to give you a little bit of background on who I am, and I won't go too long, but why this passion has welled up within me. My mom and dad were missionaries in Sierra Leone, West Africa, with the United Brethren denomination in the early 80s. My grandparents were missionaries in Sierra Leone, West Africa, with the United Brethren denomination, and I grew up there till I was 6. We moved back once the war started there, but missions has pretty much been in my blood my whole life, and from an early age, I wanted to be a missionary. Whenever anybody asked, you know, first grade, what do you want to be? I want to be a missionary. And all my friends wanted to, you know, be rock stars and things. But so that's always been a part of me. And as I've grown up, I've seen poverty worldwide. I've had an opportunity to spend some time in Honduras on short-term mission trips. I lived there for 3 months after high school. I graduated and moved down there with a Honduran family. I worked through the headquarters in Huntington, kind of as a teams coordinator, worked with some churches that came down, doing some translating for them, and I helped develop, I don't know if some of you may be familiar with the La Pradera in Honduras. There's a feeding program that's called La Pradera, and I worked alongside Myra to begin that program, and it's been a blessing that it's still running. It was really in Honduras when I saw world hunger and poverty at hand, and was the Lord kind of changed that calling or that desire of I want to be what my parents are to this is what I want for you. And so as I came back from Honduras, I went to school in Western New York, like I said, Houghton College. And it was really in college when that passion to see people restored, both physically and spiritually, was kind of ignited. And I heard about Food for the Hungry my sophomore year there. I did a lot of research on them, did a lot of seeking the Lord, and he opened this door for me. And so, I'm excited that I found them and that they found me. And I'm very excited because our passions are in alignment. And I have been accepted to be a missionary with them. Originally, I was like, get me out of the country. I'm ready to go, Lord. I'm ready for you to send me overseas. But sometimes the Lord has other things in store that we don't expect. And that's kind of the case right now. He's asked me to, I believe that he's opened this door to stay stateside for a year. I will be moving to Phoenix, Arizona, end of August, Lord willing, and we'll be serving with them in their headquarters. Their U.S. headquarters is there. A lot of the work they do in Phoenix is with refugees and the Hispanic culture there. They also are advocates for the poor, and they do a lot of recruiting other missionaries, just letting other people know, you know, come with us and serve the Lord overseas. So I'll be working in their office with them for the year. I will be doing some international travel to see some of their ministries abroad. I don't know, like, the day by day what I'll be doing, but I know I'll be serving there for the year. I'll also be receiving some training. Ultimately, I would love to be a teams coordinator, do a little bit of what I did in Honduras, whether that be stateside, taking teams to different countries as their translator and cultural broker, as well as what's that called? Bible study leader. Or it could be I would be stationed in a different country, and then I would be receiving teams and working there alongside teams that way. So I don't really know, like I said, what exactly I'm going to be doing after this year with them, but I'm trying not to look ahead. I'm trying to be smart about, or you know what I mean, take this year, and I'd be like, all right, Lord, what's next? What's next? But really learn from the year and see what he has, how he can use me in the States. So that's what I'm going to be doing. Let's see if I've missed anything. Yeah. If you have any questions, I would love to answer them. Right now, I do need to have a team of supporters, so that's what I've been traveling around doing. The Lord has blessed me with a lot of good prayer and financial supporters, and I'm excited about the team of partners that I have. I would love to have you as partners as well in my ministry, and Pastor can talk a little bit more about that later. So I just really want to close and just say thanks again for letting me come and just share my heart. I hope that it was coherent and not all over the board. Sometimes I feel like I have all these things like, oh, and this, and this. and sometimes I'm a little sporadic. But I hope you followed. And I would love to answer any questions you have right now or during our fellowship time. I know you might be getting hungry, so I can let you go. But, yeah, thanks again for listening to this. I just want to end in prayer, if that's okay. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the blessing of another day. And I thank you for this church and just their commitment to you and their commitment to serving you in any way. Father, I thank you for their heart for missions, and that's been evident to me just in the way that Gary Dilley has spoken to me about them and just in the interactions already that I've had this weekend with them. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless them and that you would use them in a mighty way, whether that be going, individuals may decide to go and serve you overseas, or that may be as senders or as mobilizers or as prayers. Lord, I just pray that you would use them. Father, I just thank you so much for just for the way that you've worked in my life and for the people you have brought alongside. And Father, I just pray that you would use me in any way, whether that be as an encouragement to others here or that be overseas or in Phoenix. And Father, go with us as we go from this place and help us to not just focus on what we need to do today, but really be praying for and be involved in your ministry worldwide. We ask it all in your precious and holy name. Amen. Give you this back.
Thank you. Did a good job. You can probably hear me now. Okay, I get to be the closer guy. You know, there always has to be somebody at the end of these things that actually asks you for money. That's me. Jamie needs to raise $25,000 for this year to be in Arizona serving in Food for the Hungry. Now, I've been involved in support raising ministries, and that's a national average. For a single person to sustain life, 25 grand is about what they ask you to do. She wants to do that. Now, we as a church are always asking the Lord, who is it that you want us to invest a portion of what is given in our offering in your work nationally and internationally? So we as a church board and mission board will look at that. Do we want to take her on? And right now what she's asking for is a year, because as she explained in her presentation, for a year she's going to be there in training, and then she'll kind of understand what happens for there. If she goes off internationally, then you have to raise more money, because it costs more money to get back and forth and do the international things that you have to do. So, you know, if we take her on as a missionary, probably a year from now she'll communicate with us in some way, shape, or form and say, this is what I'm doing now, and move on from there. The second thing that I ask you to do is become a personal investor in what she's doing. Having been someone who's been on the support raising trail before, monthly supporters are what you always love to have. And individuals who are willing to take a portion of what God gives them and give that to missionaries on a monthly basis is one of the most wonderful things. Because, you know, people, when they write a check or hear a communication from you, then they pray for you. And in this society that we live in, it is really simple to become a monthly supporter for them. Organized, credible ministries like this, when you take one of these cards from me, they just do a monthly withdrawal from your checking account or your credit card or your debit card, and you never forget to give to them. And it's really a cool deal. But I'd encourage individuals among the congregation to find people that you want to give to. Julie and I have people in Papua New Guinea that work with Wycliffe translators that we give to above and beyond what we give to the church. We have people that are in Phoenix that serve in Victorious Christian Living. And why anybody wants to go to Phoenix in August is beyond me. If you've ever been, if you can live through that without air conditioning, you can live anywhere in the world. But, you know, we have people in Phoenix that we support as individuals outside of our regular tithes and offerings to the church. And I think it's important for you to have those people in your life. I firmly believe that when we get to heaven and we get in that closed door session with the Lord, and He says, this is how you gave to the poor, is you supported people like Jamie, who actually did the legwork for you, but they couldn't go do it if you didn't provide the resources for them. So you actually did that through them the same way I did it through you to give you the money to do it. Did that transition make sense? He works it through us so that He can work it through them, so that they can work it through others, so that He gets, but that's really how it works. And literally, as you heard her testimony, you're not just investing in a third generation missionary. The high probability is if she falls in love with a guy who's in the mission field as well and they biologically reproduce, the percentage odds of their children becoming missionaries as well is significantly higher than the rest of us who live in the cornfield. I mean, it's just statistically proven true. So you're not just investing in a third generation missionary, but her kids and grandkids have a high probability to be called to the same thing. So I think it's a good investment is the bottom line in that. And but anyway, Marty has a hymn to close with that church will talk about giving. But if you want to individually talk about that, get one of these for me and let me give you some special instructions.